Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got an interesting show today. Later, we'll be looking back at the life and legacy of former Governor Jim Thompson and ask whether he'd find a home in the Republican Party of today. Then we'll be speaking with former Lake County Sheriff Mark Curran, the Republican looking to end Democratic Senator Dick Durbin's 24-year career in the Senate. But first, Republicans have gathered in Charlotte, North Carolina, for a limited national convention this week. The roll call of delegates is set to be taking place as we go to air in the 11 o'clock hour Monday morning. Incidentally, if you're hearing this on a rebroadcast because it was preempted, maybe you missed it the first time, this might be a great opportunity to subscribe to our podcast so you can be sure to always keep up with the conversations we're having. Just search for The 21st on your favorite podcast app or find a link at 21stshow.org. But I digress with a self-promotion. Last week, we previewed the DNC with one of my favorite reporters, also a friend and my former bureau chief, Amanda Vinicky. She's back now. She's a correspondent for Chicago Tonight on PBS station WTTW in Chicago. Amanda, welcome back to the 21st.
I always love chatting with you, Brian.
So let us begin with, and pardon me, listeners, if you hear my dog barking in the background, anytime somebody walks past the house, we are still socially distanced show hosting and reporting these days. So, Amanda, can you recap the DNC, at least in terms of the Illinois delegation? Any highlights stand out to you from last week before we move on to the Republicans?
Sure. I think nationally, of course, it's going to stand out for being the first ever virtual convention. And so as we watch what Republicans do this week, they have the benefit, I guess, of having seen what Democrats did and perhaps quickly trying to, the word of 2020, pivot and adopt best practices and leave behind what didn't work. And it will have a base of comparison versus Democrats really sort of going in blind with doing something like this. And then on the Illinois perspective, it's most notable for what didn't really happen. And that was, of course, we still have as the head of the Democratic Party of Illinois, Michael Manigan, longtime Illinois House Speaker, who is under a cloud like never before, including with members of his party calling for him to resign from at least one, if not both of those posts, but not everybody. And I know that at our shop, we talked with a lot of Democrats last week, and most said, "We are willing to ride this out. We're focused on the election. We're focused on getting Donald Trump out of the White House." They aren't focused right now on Michael Madigan and repeated what we've heard from, like I said, there are some who've called for him to resign, but by and large, Democrats are saying just if what is alleged in terms of a bribery scheme that perpetrated by ComEd in order to curry favor with Madigan is true, then Madigan should resign. So two letters
Madigan
there,
hasn't been charged
but
with
really
wrongdoing,
big if. And yeah. Madigan, by the way, denies any sort of wrongdoing.
Yeah. So what's that expression? You don't change your horse midstream, I guess, unless it's obvious that it's sinking.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Well, and something I think that we would have had with if there was an in-person DNC, perhaps, is the opportunity to see these side conversations that take place. And maybe there might have been some palace intrigue as Democrats, you know, could sort of get together in person to imagine a post-Madigan future for the party, right?
Right. Well, and also I think Madigan would have had to answer more questions. Thus far, he's put out a statement, again, denying that he had any part in this or that he's done anything wrong in general. He says he's always acted in an ethical manner. And yet he would have had to answer some questions. Would there have been in a sort of physical convention from leadership, from members of the Democratic Party, from state committee chairs, from reporters? He would not have been able to so easily fade into the background and just on a Zoom call saying, "Welcome, thanks, I'm passing the baton off or the microphone off to whoever's next in front of a computer screen." It just would have been so very different. So really, I think that's lucky for him. And again, we are all following this, following what is going on. I'll say it again. He denies taking part, having done anything wrong. But what I think I could say is frustrating perhaps for anybody following this is just the lack of response that we've gotten from him. We haven't had an opportunity to question this most powerful figure in Illinois. He has only issued a couple of statements. So we don't really know what is going on with his camp, with his office, his involvement in any of this, what he wants to do in terms of ethics. There are just so many questions. And I will say, I've been fortunate enough the past couple of, I've covered conventions since 2008. And I think I can't, at least since 2012, every Democratic National Convention, the speaker has sat down with me for an interview, the interviews that aired on all of the public radio stations in Illinois, and did give his perspective on the state of the party and talked at length more than he had for a while about his perspective. So last time around, for example, on Governor Bruce Rauner, and I can't say whether that would have happened this time around, but the very least, we all would have been asking.
So the Democratic convention, from an Illinois standpoint, at least, most notable in your mind for what didn't happen, and that's sort of accountability from reporters or Democratic colleagues for Michael Madigan. So what are the plans for the RNC in terms of this week?
We're still kind of figuring that out, Brian. Yeah. I don't think
they're not as far ahead of the curve as the Democrats were, right? In planning the virtual.
Not at all. Yeah. We had first learned last week, got an email from the campaign person or the spokesperson at the Illinois GOP and said, hey, we need your RSVP. I think this is an email that went out at, let's say, 9 o'clock in the morning or something. By 4 p.m., we need you to RSVP. This was on Thursday for Monday's events. So it certainly is a different dynamic. And frankly, again, Illinois still figuring that out. It does appear as if there are going to be some Facebook events sort of situations that we can follow digitally and ask questions. Unlike the DNC, where there was literally nothing to go to and delegates were encouraged, please stay home.
And yet you were in Milwaukee, right? Standing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It is, yeah. So maybe we can talk about that in a sec, but the Republicans, there are some folks that are going to be going out to Charlotte, and the roll call is happening in real life versus a Zoom videos or however the DNC did it all digitally. So it's going to be sort of different. And again, this is a whole new world, and we're all going to be going with the flow and watching and following as best as we can.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're recapping the DNC and previewing the Republican National Convention with Amanda Vinicky, who is a correspondent for WTTW PBS station in Chicago's program Chicago Tonight. I want to ask Amanda about the value of a question. We put this, we have this text, the 21st group. We asked, some of our listeners, what are you hoping to hear from Republicans and why? What issues would you like to see highlighted? John in Rockford wrote and said, both conventions are nothing more than elaborate, glitzy dog and pony shows. I do not waste my time on them. I want substance, not hype. Shakespeare might have described them best in the words of his character, Macbeth. It is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Amanda, what do you think? I mean, I'm a sucker for a Shakespeare reference on public radio, but are the conventions full of sound and fury, signifying nothing?
You know, I think that, yes. All right. If you want the substance, there's plenty of places to get that. You can go to the campaign websites for the candidates, particularly at the top of the ticket, and read their platform. And lack thereof sometimes. I think the president's reelection campaign just put out a 3-page checklist of 50 points of goals. And but clearly he has a 4-year record now to look back to if we want to see what his priorities are and where he's at on issues. So there's that. And of course, your program, the show Chicago Tonight, all over the place, there's wonderful journalism and reporting that hopefully gets to the substance of some of those issues and then the debates and such. The conventions are a dog and pony show, and I think that's what they're meant to be. They're meant to energize. That is a different sort of thing when you're in person versus when it is a digital convention. But nonetheless, we saw Democrats, I think some of the messages, it's introducing candidates, people that maybe don't pay as close attention or maybe are starting to get more serious about things as the election nears. It's an introduction. It's a greeting. And
And I don't know about you, but watching some of the speeches, just the national, not so much the Illinois ones, but the national ones, where there was no audience, right? The people are often alone in a room. Michelle Obama in alone in a room. President, former President Barack Obama alone in that room with a Constitution projected on the wall behind him in case there was any doubt about what he was trying to get at, that he was arguing was in jeopardy. I mean, you could really dial in on the substance of what they were talking about, I think, in a way that maybe is lost when Katy Perry comes on for a singing number in between speakers.
Right, no, and confetti and balloons are all over the place. It's not quite the same level of excitement if you're on the ground, but I would imagine for a television audience that is at home, it was more effective with in just imagine in 4 years' time, because who knows what conventions will look like henceforth. I think regardless of COVID, this is a new era that some changes did work better. And if you're trying to reach the most number of voters, folks at home, that's where you're going to do it, more so than delegates who presumably are tried and true and you've got their votes locked up if you're on the convention floor.
Right. Frankly, I enjoyed the sort of Zoom roll call of delegates, travelogue.
I loved the roll call.
It's the most traveling we're going to get to do this year for most of us anyway.
Exactly. It really was a glimpse of the nation. It was sort of patriotic, regardless, again, of where you stand on either the candidates or a partisan perspective. It was America.
Right. So do you have, I mean, you as you mentioned, you've covered pretty much every in-person convention since 2008. That's Obama, McCain, Obama, Romney, and Trump, Clinton. Do you have a favorite story from a past Republican national convention? Anything jump out at you as particularly significant?
You know, I think just because this is really of the time, something that I went back and did a brief little web search and some stories are still up and wow, how times have changed there. Many have gone away in 2008. I'm not sure how many of our stories we actually posted actually, but there I did several stories over the years looking at Republicans and diversity within the delegation. And I remember covering in 08, a bunch of Republicans that were looking at how they really believed that they wanted more people of color to be part of part of their party, the platform leadership. And there was a meeting of all of the delegates that were people of color at the RNC and checked back on that 4 years ago in terms of how they're doing and in what recruitment was like. And I think that that's something that I'm going to, when I get off the show with you, I'm going to give a listen to, just because it's something that Republicans have certainly been aware of, although that is something that of course has changed so much in terms of it as a priority, I think, for certain leaders, and also the difficulties that Republicans have had in recruiting a lot of voters in certain corners and delegates, why that might be.
Yeah. So only about 2 minutes left. What are the Republican prospects in Illinois this fall?
So I think there is a sense of renewed energy given all of the corruption scandals that we continue to see, and it's Democrats there. The ComEd situation, the Madigan situation. This is, while Madigan lucked out by having this sort of strange convention platform, I would say Republicans perhaps are losers in that regard, because this would be an opportunity for the party to hammer that message, and every political reporter would be reporting on it daily. There's a bit of renewed energy there. That said, the map is drawn. There are definitely districts that are drawn to Democrats' advantage. You're seeing, I think, Trump at the top of the ticket does not help in many of the suburban districts where they have the potential to swing from being represented by a D to an R in the Illinois General Assembly. So I would say not the best prospects. Nobody is counting on there to be a change in power. Right now, Democrats dominate. They hold super majorities in the Senate and the Illinois House. And the expectation is more, all right, is that going to change by one or two? Not, is it going to flip?
Yeah, and as we've seen politics nationalized increasingly, that's worked against Democrats in certain southern states, but I think it's probably not helpful to Republicans in Illinois, as you know, President Trump's unpopularity here does not help raise down ballot candidates. Amanda Vinicky is a correspondent, political correspondent for Chicago Tonight on WTTW. If you don't live in the Chicago television market, you can catch the show online or on PBS's Passport app if you're a supporter of your local PBS station. Amanda, thanks so much for being with us here on the 21st again.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much, Brian.
Great to talk to you as always. Coming up after the break, we're going to take a look back at the life of Illinois' longest-serving governor, Jim Thompson. We'll hear from two people who worked with him. Then later in the program, we'll be having a conversation with Mark Curran, the former Lake County Sheriff, who's challenging Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin in the election this fall. That's all coming up later this hour on the 21st. I also want to mention we read a text from John in Rockford. We're going to have more texts throughout the show, throughout the week. You can join our Text the 21st initiative. Just send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Once again, text the word TALK to 217-803-0730. We get great responses. It's a nice way to hear from our listeners, and it does inform our coverage and the questions we ask. So connect with us. Text TALK to 217-803-0730.